mountaintop experiences may be few and far between, but they are cherished when they happen. We were talking about mountaintop experiences in confirmation class last week. Often it may be desired that the experience could continue throughout life without interruption. Many people take having a mountaintop experience very literally and follow the challenge of mountain climbing. They may even place their lives in danger in doing this. Now, I must say personally, this kind of mountain scaling is not my cup of tea. Get me on a ladder and I have trouble. But I would imagine to reach the peak of a mountain for them may not only give them the satisfaction of achievement, but the euphoric experience of viewing the earth from such high vantage point. Seeing pictures from such a vantage point, I can imagine that to experience the beauty of it all in person would be overwhelming and awe-inspiring. But that is far from my personal experience, as I said, will take me. I just enjoy what they produce. To have a mountaintop experience in life, though, you need not climb Mount Everest or any other mountain summit. What is known as a mountaintop experience can be found in an awe-inspiring moment which life presents. It is true that one of the most common moments of such experiences is when we are caught up in the vastness and awe and majesty of the universe as seen from a hillside in the complete darkness of night. Looking above, the skies present the ever amazing experience of the wonder and mystery of God's universe. The stars seem to envelop us in their seemingly timelessness. It gives us a glimpse into eternity. To think that what you observe is what someone else observed 4,000 years ago is awesome. They looked up at the same sky. It's all the same thing. This mountaintop experience causes us to be amazed that we are a part of this God-given life and a part of this eternity. Words are inadequate to describe these experiences, for how can they explain or describe a miraculous glimpse into eternity so that others may understand and experience it. The only way it may be believed is as if it is, the only way it can be believed is if someone else experiences the same thing. Yeah. One of the problems we have in today's society could very well be that such experiences of that nighttime sky are foreign to far too many. Many never get beyond the city limits, city lights, which blind them from such an experience. They never get caught up in the universe. And what a shame. They never get caught up in the experience of the depth of the skies. Well, you know, therefore, such mountaintop experiences, when tried to relate to them, just falls on deaf ears. They don't understand. They can't comprehend it. And what a shame. It was one of these mountaintop experiences which Jesus' three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were privileged to experience. No, it wasn't the nighttime sky. It would be, though, such an awe-inspiring moment that what they experienced as would be a miraculous moment and would be difficult to explain, no less believed by others. You know, and we can sit here and read this, and it's hard to believe. But they would experience the fact that in their momentary mountaintop experience, their glimpse into eternity, there was no reality or meaning in past, present, and future. It all came together. The fact is that in eternity, the past is present, and the present is future, and the future is past. There is no distinction, for it is always. Isn't this the case during a mountaintop experience of glancing into the starry night sky? The glimpse into eternity has no limitations or frameworks of time. Now, the gospel story takes place not long after Peter had made his confession that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went up the mountain to pray. He was at the crossroads of his life. He had reached that crossroads. And there lie before him was journey's end. There lie before him would be the journey to the cross. He needed to find the assurance that this was indeed the time to take that journey to the cross. So he took his three most trusted disciples up Mount Hermon to an area which was isolated from the activities of the world. It was there that Jesus and his disciples would share a mountaintop experience during which the limitations of time, past, present, and future would be overcome by God's eternal presence. Before the eyes of the disciples, the identity of Jesus, which had been confessed by Peter, would be confirmed. The disciples knew something very special was about to happen when the radiance of God shone forth from Jesus. And Matthew writes, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. The miraculous glimpse into eternity was beginning to unfold. Time on that mountain suddenly disappeared. For two of the most revered men in Jewish history and religious life suddenly appeared with Jesus. The past had become present. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Moses, God's chosen one who led his people out of bondage into freedom and the instrument to bring the sacred law to them. There he was standing with Jesus, Moses, and along with Moses was Elijah, the greatest of the prophets who directed the Hebrews from the grasp of Baal to the one God who had selected them to be his chosen ones. They all appeared on this mountain in order to confirm the fact that Jesus was the chosen one, a Messiah, who had come to bring fulfillment of the law of Moses and of the words of warning and promise of the prophets. Jesus had indeed brought this message of fulfillment to mankind and would soon be clearly understood with the cross and the resurrection. The road to the cross was the only way for fulfillment to become known. This fulfillment would be through God's ultimate and overwhelming love. There was no turning back now or prolonged in this mountaintop experience. No, even though Peter wished it to be prolonged when he said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, so that we may experience this for more time to come." But no, God had other plans. This moment was to be only a glimpse into eternity. The mission of Jesus could not be delayed by glimpses of eternity, but must have been fulfilled in the time and space of human experience. Therefore, even before Peter had finished stating his experience, his desire to try to harness eternity, a bright cloud overtook them, and a voice descended upon them, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And even Peter then was silenced. It was a mountaintop experience which the disciples wished would never end, but which sent them to the ground, being struck with the fear of by being in the presence of this eternal God. Now fear would be overcome by the love of Jesus, who touched them and said, "Get up. Get up. Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, there was just Jesus before them. At the same time that they were struck with the reality of this, of Jesus, they also knew that they had just been touched by the experience which goes beyond time. They had actually had a glimpse of God's eternity. A miracle? Yes. For mountaintop experiences are a miracle when they give glimpses into God's eternal kingdom, which knows no time, past, present, or future. Then when they were walking down the mountain, we are told something which sounds kind of odd. Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." As I mentioned before, mountaintop experiences are not readily explained to others, for words are far too inadequate. The experience would be misunderstood by some and disbelieved by others. But if similar glimpses in eternity can be experienced by others, then these mountaintop experiences can begin to be realized and understood. The disciples then, though, would have to wait themselves to have a true understanding of this experience. This would come through the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection would be their mountaintop experience come alive which in turn then could be understood by others. It was and is that glimpse into the eternal kingdom of God as received through the risen Christ. The transfiguration of Jesus tells us that God does share his love in eternity with us. We are assured of this through those mountaintop experiences that we have and will have, which give us glimpses into his eternal kingdom. And this kingdom knows no limitations of time and space, no past, no present, no future. This is the very nature of God's eternal love. A love which knows no limitation, for it is ever-giving and everlasting. It is this love that we not only experience, but live. With this love, we too experience a transfiguration within our lives. There is a little doubt that we live in a moment of time which this message is so vitally needed. The transfiguration within ourselves needs to shine forth. It is up to each of us not only to share our mountaintop experiences into the eternal love of God, but to help others to realize such experiences in their lives. The mountaintop experience of the good news is no longer to be held as a secret, but to be pronounced and to be lived. No external force should keep us from this mission. No external force shall hide our transfiguration, the good news that we have to share and to live. No external force. Amen.